Hi. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible does not condemn gay people. So, can we have a little bit of a conversation here? Can I hear from some of you people? Would you like to talk to me? I'm more than happy to listen. I really would like some dialogue with you, because a lot of you constantly like to use terms like, it's in the Bible. God hates it. You're going to hell. It's simple. Or you quote one of the 14 verses. There's only 14 verses. No matter what you want to think, there's 2,000 years has gone by, and the anti-gay doctrine is a little over 700 years old. You're not going to change it. You're not going to get some magical kind of brilliance to be able to discover other scriptures that are being used to condemn gays in a manner that you could get some sort of connection, as it were, to the doctrine used against gays. Now, there's lots of other verses that many of you like to add that talks about the general sin. You know, they like, the wages of sin is death. But any sin, this verse applies to. So you first have to assume one of the 14 verses makes all gay sin, and then you start applying all these other scriptures that would go to everybody on earth to gays, to make it seem like gay is even more sinful than anything else. But hey, you know, I'm sort of getting used to talking to Muslims lately. You know, you go to Christian rooms, didn't used to be this way, but in the last year or so, maybe a little bit longer, but in really recent times, see, I've been going to Christian chat rooms since about 1985, back in the time when about the only way you get to any kind of Christian chat room is through a BBS system. You dial up a BBS. And then, you know, finally the BBS has got a little bit more advanced, and at some point at night, they would send a packet off to this, the beginnings of the web, as it were. And then that would be automatically dispersed to all the different people that are also connected in that to BBSs that are connected into this beginnings of the World Wide Web. And then dispersed out again would be all the various emails that everybody was trying to communicate with. And so then you dial back up your BBS in the local area, and you got messages. But you had to wait 24 hours to get new messages if somebody happened to send you one. This began to evolve. Now, some of these BBSs, there's quite a few of them in those days, and to get to them, you literally had to dial up each BBS. If you wanted a BBS about country western, you'd have to go look through a list, find one with their phone number, and dial it up. You know, those are the old days. We thought it was pretty fantastic. And gays, they have two or three BBSs they could go to. I ran my own BBS. I had a six-line BBS myself. I called it Gays for Jesus. Gays for Jesus, the name, has been around for a long, long time. And there's Christian BBSs. And I dialed up them. And they had, at that time, there wasn't too much live chatting. Different ones, you could live chat. My BBS actually had a feature that you could live chat. Now in those days, when people dial in together, and the person that's running the BBS, me, can simply click and you can see the conversation going on. And so instead of filtering conversation, the automatic filters of words, you were the filter. You looked at it, you don't like that, and you're going to intervene and say, hey, you know, this is not the point of this website. Or so back in those days, it was kind of interesting. It seemed like high tech at the time. And I would also, I would be going to these Christian boards and talking a lot of them. Sometimes I'd get banned. It was a lot easier because everybody, all the VBS is run by a particular person. I banned a lot of people on my side. All you have to do is push a button. They're gone. They can't call back. As soon as they dial back, it shoots you out. But then the trick is you just dial in with another name. And so you could be, but I was able to talk quite a bit in those days of the VBSs to listen to what Christians say. Then we got, the internet began, as it were, and suddenly you had this creature called the World Wide Web. And even in the beginning times, there were free programs, or at least you join, you get an account for a month, and then you could cancel, or you can stay on. And then, you know, AOL is my favorite one. You could get an account for 3 months at a time, and then when you call them up to cancel, they beg you to stay. We'll add another 3 months on. So you could get, you know, 6 months with one name. And then and discs were everywhere, free discs. You'd go to any store almost, and there's an AOL disc. You put it in, and it's got the new password. Start all over again, you know. And AOL had a pretty good chat system, chat rooms and stuff in those days, the best that I could find. And so, but you'd be connected to the web, so you can also go to regular, like Yahoo started, and they have chat rooms. And there's the Christian chat room, and it was a little bit hard because it was web-based. It was better than a lot of kind of web-based ones that are almost like HTML all the way that you're doing or something, or it had the look of that you sent a message and it got put into a web page, and then people that are there just sort of see the message, and then so they can enter another message, and it had a kind of a, it worked and it was live, but it didn't have the feel of like AOL chat rooms where you just had a window like we're used to Christian chat rooms today. You just type away, and you see everybody going, typing away, you know, and it's a pretty good system. And Yahoo was kind of a baby out there, but it kind of grew along, and it was kind of neat to go over to once in a while and tell that one day there became to this wonderful dial-up service that was free in the Seattle area here. And so I started using that, so you didn't need anything else. You didn't have to be changing your name all the time. You didn't have to even have a name. You just logged on. You just got in. They had everybody used the same name, same password. Get in, and then you're connected for free. And so it was much harder to go to AOL because you're no longer a member, so you lost the chat. They did have their own kind of chat out on the web type of thing, and it worked okay. But then Yahoo came into its own, and Yahoo Messenger became prevalent, and the chat rooms became pretty good. And so pretty much I stuck in Yahoo chat rooms, the Christian chat rooms. And I'm going into this kind of detail because it's a process that I'm trying to get across that doesn't seem to help. There don't seem to be any way to reach many of you people that are listening, whether you go to these chat rooms or not, but you behave the same way, because sometimes I get email from you, and I get plenty of voice calls from you. There's my voice number up there. It's, you know, you just dial that number, and you can talk on to me. So I hear you. I know what you're doing. You're doing this kind of thing. It's in the Bible. What's in the Bible? Gay is sin. No. What you're telling me is that somehow, by osmosis or something, you come up with this idea that gay is sin. And you have this idea, it's in the Bible. It's just a concept you have. It's called conditioning. You were born. And you hear things in the news, at school, your parents. You are getting stuff put in. By 3 years old, you begin to have the beginning of memory. But before, you know, you got almost 3 years of no memory at all. You're just going along in la-la land at the moment. No matter how hard you try, you can't break into those first 3 years or so of your memory. But you can tap into some memories that you can associate to being 3 years old. I can. You know, you got certain people you can talk to that knows exactly the time this and that and the other thing happened. And I remember that. And doing those various kinds of things, I was 3 years old then. It's kind of funny about it, because if you think about things like that back when you're 3 years old and what you did and everything, you hardly thought yourself as a baby. I mean, you thought you had well-adapted thinking patterns and knew what you're doing and all this kind of stuff. There's hardly a time that you really didn't think that you weren't intelligent or you were just a baby or something. Until later you grow up and you start looking at babies and you say, well, they're just a baby. And then you get really old, you know. Here I'm getting to be 60 now. And you talk to people in their 90s and even 100s, and as far as they're concerned, they're just like they were when they were a teenager. Except when they look in the mirror, it's all drooping around and they can't hardly say what they grasped a hold of the memories or the concept of talking as well as they used to. They can't go around and do things. They used to be real sophisticated in some of the jobs they did. They can't do it anymore. It just blows their mind how they can't, but they still feel like that same person they were when they were just starting school. Kind of funny. Again, I'm going in some detail about this in hoping that you kind of would listen a little bit. What I'm trying to say is you are having a life and you're living it and you get your ideas. But how come your life becomes the concept of the world? We have a Bible, and that's pretty fundamental, pretty basic. I mean, it's complex, but it's one book, and all Christians is reading this book. But you have China, you have Korea, you have Russia, you have these tribes out there in the deepest, darkest of Africa. They don't even wear clothes, but yet some of them are Christian. There's places all over the place that you're sort of, as it were, concept of Christianity just isn't going to apply, and you ain't going to make them go to hell because they're not in your little world of Christianity. And their world is just as much Christian as yours are. They're not more in one way to Christ. You come to Christ because He is the door. But your concept of how a Christian should live and all that got a lot to be desired. How do you think you're the brains of Christianity? I don't care how educated you are today, how much experience you had, you can't be the brains of 6.7 billion people that are alive today, let alone the past 2,000 years. And you got 2,000 years of Christianity. You read some of the stuff that people wrote thousands of years ago, and you can't tell the difference between a modern day scholar that is extremely educated. They're writing the same kind of deal. We got the same brains and we got the same kind of thinkings and everything, and there's people been around the block and they wrote about it. And somehow or another you're smarter than all of this? Can't you just accept Christianity and not have to worry about who you can find is doing what, right or wrong? You got enough to know to get yourself to the rapture or to die in Christ, still keeping your faith. And to go in to try to correct the world. Christianity has been wrong more than it's been right. That's one thing interesting about Christianity than the other religions. We could be a mess, and we're still going to go to heaven. Because, you know, what happens? God looks at us because Satan is there and saying, God, look at this guy down here. Look at this gal. Look how awful they are. They're doing this and that and the other thing. And so God said, okay, you know, I'm going to go look at him. And he goes down there, and he just looked down there, and he says, yeah, I see him. Yeah, I see her. Yeah, there they are. Oh, yeah, like a twinkle in their eye. I remember, you know, one time they were just finding out, and it was, they had such a neat experience, you know, the glow on their face. And then he said, but wait a minute. I can't see what you're saying about this person. You're saying that this person is doing all kind of wickedness and evilness and everything. I'm trying to see what you're saying, Satan. I'm trying to look at this, one of my children down here. God tells us that when the accuser comes to accuse you, God don't see your sin. Doesn't mean you're not sinning. It means that God sees Jesus instead of you. Because Jesus paid the price for it. So he tells Satan, you know, every single time that you come to me about this person and tell me this person's doing something wickedly, I try to look at that spot. You know what I see? I see my son on the cross. I see the spear stuck in him. I see he died for that person. And his love for that person, he gave his life. That's what I see. I don't see the accusations that you're making. I can't see this behavior. When you're accusing somebody, this is God's behavior. He sees Jesus. Now, as the person is living a Christian life with his relationship with Jesus, daily, his personal relationship, that person and Jesus is working out their salvation together until the day that person dies or the rapture comes. Any kinds of areas of their life that needs fixing, that's in God's hand through Jesus Christ in the personal relationship they have. People, do you know that when somebody accepts Jesus, they got to that altar somehow, whether it's actually in a church or in the woods? Somehow or another, they got to the altar and bowed down before God and accepted Jesus. I believe that you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day, that you died for my sins on the cross. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Some place or another, you got to this place and you believe these things and you've told people about that. But somehow you got there. It might have taken days. It might have taken 10 minutes. It might have taken weeks, months, years. It might have taken decades before you finally got it. And you say, yes, I am a sinner. And can you believe that? Jesus died for me. He paid the price. I don't have to die for my sin. Jesus' love is so great. How wonderful as you come into Jesus. But you got there. And this is where your testimony comes in, people. You walked without Jesus. Jesus might have been there. We love to talk about the Holy Spirit drawing us. Jesus is there. God's always there watching over me and everything. And we have wonderful things we can say. We call it part of our testimony that I went through this phase of stuff. And then later on, things happened, and I moved on to this other kind of phase of stuff. You know, for me, I went through distinctive phases that lasted a distinctive number of years. One of them was, I think, about 6 years. And then there was a couple of them about 3 years before these particular major steps to where I would then realize there is a God. But they're distinctive. So I can see Jesus step by step, and I can tell you about that. I could go into detail and tell you about it because you don't get what. I was there. Starting back there about 3 years old, I started remembering things about what I did. And no, it's off to think about. And all these things. I can't lie to myself, let alone our little old saying, you can't lie to God. He knows. He's there, you know. So we have a testimony. We can say that we did this for this many years, and then we came through steps to accept Jesus. Then now you're a born-again Christian, and you have the experience to tell of the process, some dramatic, really dramatic. Mine was dramatic accepting Jesus. Some, nothing. But then you see dramatic change in their lives from that day forward. Well, these changes in your lives are visible. There are things that you once did and now you don't anymore. Then you got miracles. You get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you could speak in another language. And there's so many tests of that, you can't play the game. Well, Satan can talk languages too. Boy, yeah, dime a dozen we hear Satan's languages out there, huh, don't we? Those you don't see, maybe turn on some sci-fi movie to watch how the Catholics are trying to cast out some demon through rituals and everything, and you get to hear these funny sounds demons make. I'm sorry, you don't find this kind of thing. You could test your spirits. You could know baptism in the Holy Spirit, people. And people baptized in the Holy Spirit have some experiences. You got all these lists of gifts and everything. So you got things that people get physically healed. I got 3 major physical healings that I could describe in detail how they happen. They happen instantly, dramatically, wonderful. That's fabulous. Man, getting healed when you're sick is pretty nifty when it happens all of a sudden. And you can't tell me it didn't happen because it happened to me. And then you have answered prayer, thousands of them. You know, you're going, "Lord, God, give me this." Sometimes it's just very general. Sometimes you want to, God, this is the conditions and these are the situations and I need this and that and the other thing. And if it's what you need, then guess what? God says, "Hey, yeah, thanks for asking. Here it is." Sometimes it's a couple of minutes later, sometimes 15 minutes later, sometimes a month or two later, and sometimes it might take quite a while to get the answer. But you get the answer. In the detail that even you prayed for it. When you want to be real general, in real general means you won't be able to really recognize the answered prayer sometimes. Let God know your feelings. And you have a walk, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ daily. You know He's there. Jesus is right now with me. I feel Him everywhere all the time. He's there with me all the time. And I'm talking to you. I can feel this flowing of the Spirit. It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is this is my testimony. You can't call me a liar except to cover up your disbelief. Who cares about your disbelief? You're not in my shoes. I'm in my shoes. It's a testimony. And so we could talk about Jesus in our life. And this is the thing that you don't want to hear about people that you think should be going to hell. Concerning gays, you think they're going to go to hell. But get them up there to give a little talk about who they are, what they've done, their walk with Jesus, how they got to Jesus, and the life after that. And you're going to hear some remarkable stories of gay people's walk in Jesus Christ. This kinds of stuff just throws monkey wrenches in all your claims that a gay person can't be saved or they got to be delivered. Out of time here. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him and say, "Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God and that God rose You on the third day." A simple prayer gets you saved. But you can ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit so He could be Pentecostal. You know, read the second chapter of Acts to figure that one out. And read the King James Version. That's right. There's a reason I say that. See you next